are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support the show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday, Tuesday, casual Tuesday, Wednesday, casual hump day, Thursday, casual Thurs, that's what we call it, and Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Friday, March 4th, 2016. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, it's Casual Friday, folks. The day after the 11th Republican debate, I don't even know if it's appropriate to characterize it that way. Because it was such a crap show.
I actually thought from their perspective they got to the heart of the matter much more effectively than they had in the past.
Well, that's fair to say, except for we did not see...
They got to the size of the member.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Cliff Schechter will be here to recount the gory details. We'll whip it out, we'll measure it. We'll put it in... Oh, God. And joining us later in the program, ostensibly to give us a movie recommendation, though I think she's actually going to tell us her plans to leave the country based upon what she watched last night, Judy Gold. Superstar. Comedian. Etc. Also on the program today... Texas abortion law is at the Supreme Court. There's some sense that maybe Kennedy may swing a slightly different direction. Everything's completely frozen now, 4-4. Meanwhile, I think we mentioned this yesterday, but bears repeating, Mitt Romney in perhaps one of the most self-deluded moments in political history gets up and tells the Republican Party to essentially pave the way to him coming into a brokered convention and becoming the presidential nominee.
Fine, everyone. I'll do it. Get the band back together. The last thing you need is a phony, trust fund baby, job-destroying, no tax return disclosing plutocrat running as the nominee. It cannot happen. Who let the dogs out?
No. And just to, I don't know, put a finer point on it, apparently they found a knife on OJ's property. I just wanted to.
Is that viral Kelly, marketing just, for the new show?
That's right. All right. Well. I don't know. Some construction worker found a knife buried there. Honestly, I just said more about the OJ case than I ever did in my entire life. Even when it was ongoing, I didn't watch a day of the trial.
Also, we're regressive, so OJ's innocent.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, black people don't commit crimes.
Never,
so excuse
never,
me.
Would never contemplate something like that.
Trigger warning.
But it just, I don't know. There's something about what happened last night and just this Republican race that has, I don't know. I'm longing for a simpler time when the country was completely obsessed about a car driving around on the highway in California. Unbelievable. I mean, last night was just completely off the rails. And just yesterday was completely off the rails with Mitt Romney coming, we spent a significant amount of time on the fun half yesterday trying to, mocking Mitt Romney, but also also trying to understand, like, what is the thought process here? That's something that Cliff and I will talk more about. I wanted to read an email from an audience member, just because it's Casual Friday, and heck, why not? Let me just do a little house cleaning first. Members already have the audio from last night's debate. We had no technical difficulties, and aside from the fact that, there we go, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, everybody did a great job last night.
Sam never looked pre-aneurysm once.
No, I didn't. I didn't have a fit. I didn't throw things. I didn't smash the TV. I didn't put my foot through a wall.
Damn it.
No, I did not. None of that happened. And in fact, our good friends from the Sargon of Arkad came and called me a Jew Zionist faggot multiple times in our YouTube feed, which I think, as people who know me by now know, that's like the functional equivalent, I think, for most normal people of like, oh, went out to see a great show or had a movie and a great dinner. I mean, for me, that is like, wow, I just... It's like that's not quite Disney World for me, but it's like going to a small amusement park in terms of enjoyment. And so that was fun. We had a great night last night. We're going to release the audio to freebeers just because I don't know. I don't know why we're doing that.
Largesse.
Yeah. Just because, yeah. We don't, it's not, for us, it's not the size of the podcast. Like, you know, people are like, why do you put so much out there? It's too much. And we put out as much as we think is necessary at any given point. So your podcast's too big. It's too small. We're not going to have that debate, folks. That's not the way we roll here.
We do a fantastic job.
Dear Majority Reporters, Daria writes, I started listening to both TYT and Majority Report about 5 years ago. I'm editing some of this thing, I should just say right now, because I don't want anybody to accuse me of editing when I haven't already admitted I've edited.
Cherry picking.
Yeah, I'm cherry picking. I'm staying with most of the positive stuff.
Quote mining.
Yeah, exactly. I'm quote mining. I started listening to both TYT and Majority Report about 5 years ago. The quality of interviews and commentary on Majority Report have only gotten better and better. While you guys were pointing out that Bernie Sanders' chances were small over the summer, you were also talking about the strengths and weaknesses of his policies and record, i.e. having substantive conversations. I hope you guys understand how badly a progressive show with your quality and depth is needed. Yes, there are other shows with progressive hosts, but most just regurgitate punditry or poorly researched talking points. Few actually have this number of specialists, academics, investigative journalists, and nuanced commentary. On the other hand, there are tons of culture, music, sports, commentary shows, so I have many panic attacks when you guys talk about spin-off podcasts, because I really hope you don't go the way of other shows. Thanks so much for keeping up the incredible work. That's 3 exclamation points after that. I don't know who she left out, Michael, from those exclamation points, but I see 4 people here. Sorry, buddy. P.S. My dog also really appreciates the full two-hour show, because it means that I zone out and let him spend 5 minutes sniffing every single tree we pass, although I don't tend to get him to run again during a prolonged dog call. So I say that as a way of saying, you should not have any panic attacks, at least not because of us. There's, as far as I'm concerned, there's actually increasing reason to have panic attack. One of which we spent, 3 hours watching last night, but not because of our spinoffs. Our spinoffs are going to, there's going to be no dilution of this main product, no change to it at all. We may cut it up and deliver it in slightly different ways. We're still working on that. But for instance, Michael's program, what is this now called?
Two Dope Boys and a Podcast.
Okay. Yeah. Two Dope Boys and a Podcast.
And it's co-hosted by a black dude, so it's very regressive.
It's very regressive. Extremely. Show. But you guys are talking about trends and brands, and there's some funny stuff on there and some interesting stuff. It's not going to be like this show, but it's going to have a similar sensibility.
Similar sensibility, exactly. And, with a different range of topics.
With a different range of topics, but definitely worth checking out. And sometime next week when we drop the show, probably on Tuesday, we're going to ask you, because again, what the idea behind this is like, okay, how can we generate some more revenue for the overall enterprise here, so that we can continue to do what we do and make the product slowly a little bit better, and maybe hire another person so that we can maximize and optimize and do other eyes. And so on Tuesday of next week, what we're going to do is we're going to ask you on Tuesday, I believe it is, right? We're going to ask you to subscribe to the show and leave ratings and reviews and whatnot. The whole idea is that you folks are an important asset to this program in that you can help launch a show. So we'll ask for you that on Tuesday. Don't have a panic attack in the meantime. And let me just go.
Look, it's going to be a good show.
I want to get to Cliff, and so maybe I'll have to hold the What Fell Out of Ted Cruz's Mouth video. It is really, honestly, of all the horridness of last night, somebody did an isolation of something that fell out of Ted Cruz's mouth, landed on his bottom lip, shifted to his upper lip, went back down to his bottom lip, and then went into his mouth. It is, I've been watching that show, The Nick. And it's really disturbing because they just, it's all about turn of the century medicine and you see surgery. This was worse.
Oh my God.
It involves
Ted Cruz.
Because
it's real
and
it's Ted Cruz and you're just looking at it. It's just horrible.
They're doing basement surgeries with no anesthesia.
Yes.
And it's completely unsterile. It's
Ted Cruz hugging his daughter is disturbing enough.
I promise you.
He gobbles it up like a lazy, hungry hippo.
All right. Look, let's not even talk about it, please. All right.
No.
Folks, today's sponsor is Casper Mattresses, obsessively engineered American-made mattresses at a shockingly fair price. Now you can get $50 off any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/majority using the code majority. Listen, you spend about a third of your life sleeping. I've said this before. If you have a child, you spend about an eighth of your life sleeping. Let's make sure you're doing it on a good mattress. Casper brings together two comfy technologies for better nights and brighter days, latex foam and memory foam. So they got just the right sink, just the right bounce, no matter how you sleep. They have a risk-free trial and return policy. This is the part that's really crazy to me. They deliver it straight to your home or apartment. You can try it for 100 days. If you're not happy, they pick it back up. At the store, maybe you get 30 seconds to lie on the mattress. And they look. I just remember being in the Worcester Center as a kid and going into the mattress store with my parents to look for a mattress. And as soon as you step on the mattress, it's as if you're like, I don't know. I don't know if we look dirty or I don't understand. But there's just, they look at you like, what are you doing? I don't know. It's a bed. Seeing if I like it. With Casper, you actually get to sleep on it for 100 days. It's $500 for a twin-size mattress, $950 for a king-size mattress. Comparing that to industry averages, amazing price. So get $50 towards any mattress purchase by going to casper.com/majority using the code MAJORITY. Terms and conditions apply. Terms and conditions do not apply, though, when we take a break and come back with Cliff Schechter. We are back, Sam Cedar on the Majority Report. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the theme song that we play on Fridays to introduce the person that's being sung about in the theme song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC. New media, public relations, and strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
Yes, Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC.
What is
up, Sammy?
Oh my God, dude. I mean,
that debate was so awesome. I mean, I would have paid to watch it. No, I don't think so. But, I mean, my God, like, these guys are just great.
I mean, over the past week, right, we had Super Tuesday on Tuesday. Is that right? Was that Super Tuesday? It's crazy.
It's only been a couple days.
So Super Tuesdays,
campaigns, man.
I feel like I've gone through like four or five different sort of emotional states. Like Tuesday night, when I saw Trump's, his press conference after, I was like, oh, this may be a problem in the general. I mean, the guy's already making this pivot and you really get a sense of how he can do it. And then with Mitt Romney on Thursday, already just sort of like, I don't know, trying to rip this thing apart and then realizing...
And Mitt Romney is really the worst messenger. I like what he said, but if you want to have somebody go after Trump, you should probably not have the guy who has the least appeal to the people Trump's appealing to go after him.
Well, I mean, as Michael said, it was like, Mitt Romney coming out there and saying this guy's a plutocrat trust fund baby who's not been good in business. And there's...
That's very convincing.
Well, it's very convincing from a guy who had... There's video of where supposedly all his credibility is coming from his 2012 run, right? And there's video of him in that 2012 run praising Donald Trump.
Right. I mean, again, what's interesting is I think what's played out in a more interesting way, we can call it the Cedar theory of the Republican Party, if you'd like. Although I'm gonna give myself at least a little bit of credit, but that there's really the differences, and we're not talking about policy differences. There's some policy differences, but the differences in sort of the extremism they're willing to go to win, and sort of how far out of the mainstream they start is really no different. There's just the people that either have more self-realization or better media training. Right, as opposed to this whole moderate wing and this whole establishment wing. Establishment means generally that you don't say as many dumb things like Trump does and Todd Akin and all the other people. You don't go on a commercial and say I'm not a witch. You know what I mean? That's basically the establishment. But and this is sort of just proving it again, because some of these guys. I mean, you keep hearing it. I mean, even Lindsey Graham, who I think referred to what is it? One of them is poisoning yourself, the other one's shooting yourself, or whatever it was between Trump and Cruz, has now said, well, maybe we'll have to get behind Cruz. So the establishment clearly can get behind Cruz, or I think we should probably just stop using establishment, the ones with better media training.
Right.
And you even hear some others. I mean, of course, in the end with Trump, he's terrible. He's horrible. He's opening up dangerous trends of which have destroyed countries in history. He's bigoted. Oh, but what if he's a Republican nominee? Oh, yeah, of course I'd support him then.
Oh, right, exactly.
I mean, it's like hysterical, right? I mean, to me, Trump, I agree with you. He worries me in a general election, although at the same time, the combination of their refusing to act on a Supreme Court justice and Donald Trump at the top of the ticket could be the death knell to so many of their Senate candidates. I mean, look at what Chuck Grassley is suddenly going through.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, the news is that Obama is looking at a really incredible, at least in terms of her pedigree, judge from Iowa. And now the lieutenant governor is getting in the race to run against, or is it the current lieutenant governor, former one, I guess, but she's a real candidate, and Grassley doesn't generally get real candidates with real name recognition against him. And that's probably because of this stuff's going on, and he is just in a bind. And Iowa obviously is a very winnable state for us, especially in a presidential year. So suddenly you're putting these second-tier races in the Senate, in places like Iowa, McCain in Arizona, Burr in North Carolina, Blunt in Missouri. You're putting those potentially in play with this stuff going on. I mean, instead of having a really good shot at only about five or six of these races, you may end up, and I'm not saying definitely, obviously plenty of things can still happen. If this stuff continues to play out the way it is, you may have a very good shot at more like 10 to 12 races. That's a pretty big deal. So,
and so people should understand. Let me just stop you here, because this is an amazing point that you're making here. Is that what we're seeing is, even if, I mean, this is sort of the Trump effect, right? Even if the guy somehow, I don't know, tomorrow announces, like, you know what, I just realized, like, I don't want to do this, and just walks away. Yeah. It's already, you know, we played the other day the ad where I can't remember her name. She's running against McCain. Was it McClinton? And Kilpatrick is running against.
Oh, yeah, Kirkpatrick.
She's running against McCain, and it's all based on, like, him saying that dynamic. I'll vote for Donald Trump. I'll vote for Donald Trump. Like, just showing, just nakedly, like, how craven these guys are. And this right. is
and
brilliant.
She, and I'll just, say quickly, also, she's a really good. I mean, I'll just say quickly. She's more moderate than anybody, you know, or more, or whatever you want to say. She's certainly not the ideal candidate of anybody on this phone in terms of her policies.
Right.
But she's actually a really good, I've met her before in some of the work I've done. She's a very good candidate who found a way to win in a very tough district. Has a lot of support among Native Americans, particularly that were in her district in Arizona. She could win that race. So that's a classic example of where this could really make a difference.
And this is, you know, this move by, you know, they're leaking, the Obama administration leaks that they are vetting Jane Kelly. She's a federal appellate judge in Iowa as a potential nominee. And again, like, they could do this.
And they supported her unanimously, and they have a speech on video of Grassley getting up and saying how awesome she is.
So, I mean, they could do this theoretically, right, in for every single set. In, you know, Republican Senator, like, every week we're going to have a different person that we're vetting who is a hometown boy or girl of this senator, and we're just,
that's right.
I mean, it's...
If you're from North Carolina, Missouri, a few of these places, you should be looking really good right now. And again, you know, I hate that it has to come to electoral calculations, but it does, because these people won't do their job.
Right, I mean, this
you
is
know,
what...
I wouldn't have to have this conversation if they would do their job.
This is not beanbag, as
yes,
Jeb
it is
Bush
not. Is. I know. I mean, look, for as much as I love political strategy, it's a lot of what I do in my livelihood. You know, I care about policy too, and I don't wish for a dysfunctional Senate so that we can have fun conversations like this. But it is what it is.
Exactly.
We take what they've given us. I'm not going to also ignore it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's what's very weird about this time. I mean, I have to say, like, I walk into work and I'm just like, should I apologize to the audience? Like, you know, like I like, or, you know, because this stuff has gotten so bat crap crazy and it is so off the reservation. But now, like, I watch it and it's like I'm watching like a TV show. And then I have these moments where I'm like, holy crap, one of these guys could be president. And then I'm like, well, maybe we're doing the best thing that we can be doing. You know, this show doesn't have the reach of Rush Limbaugh or even, I don't know, Michael Medved for that matter. I have no idea. But the point being that on some level, like, this has gotten so crazy that we have normalized something.
Can you imagine having to apologize? I mean, you have to feel like you have to apologize. It's funny. There's somebody I know who's actually an actor and pretty famous. And he is, you know, filming a movie abroad at this point. And it was a private conversation, so I'm not going to say who it is. But he was telling me that, you know, people have been coming up to him, and, you know, because he's famous enough that people know who he is. So it's not like one of us who were in another country and we just put our head down. I mean, I know you're famous from your show, Sam.
Oh,
but
my
not
God.
Me.
Well, it depends.
I'm
on
only
where
Fridays, and I don't get the pictures like you guys do, the video. In any case, you know, so for him, it's not like anybody there doesn't know who he is. So he has to walk around and essentially constantly apologizing for the United States and when the fact that we're vetting this person in some manner and actually considering them. I know it makes a lot of us feel weird. I mean, it just puts you in such a strip because you know, you want to grow up. There was a period of time. I mean, we're similar age, Sam, and I was too young for, you know, Watergate and Carter for the most part. I mean, you know, I was seven years old. And so, My memories, even during Reagan years and sort of after that, is that at least, you know, the country seemed like you weren't in this, you didn't feel like you were in this dangerous place. In other words, maybe it was conservative in the 80s. I'm not saying it was very conservative, but but you at least felt like your country was moving in sort of a forward direction. And the stuff that went on during Watergate, the stuff with the CIA and the coups and all that stuff, that seemed like stuff out of history books that I read about. You know what I mean? As did these kinds of threats to the presidency, right? I mean, Nixon was the same kind of, it wasn't a showman in the manner of Trump, but the same kind of paranoid sort of self-loathing that clearly that Trump is. And that probably led to a lot of his behavior once he got there. You know, it's funny because the right wing has always made, a big issue going after Clinton and, they couldn't really do it with Obama, but certainly Bill Clinton and other Democrats on character, because to them, quote unquote, character means, have you had infidelities? Have you had stuff like that? But the truth of the matter is that when the founders, if you go back and look at things, character was very important, and it is important. And we on the left have kind of let that largely go by the wayside, which is, you know, and now obviously we're talking about it with Trump, but the degree to which you're a person that can be trusted, that has the right temperament for the job, these are actually pretty important things. These are beyond what your politics are. There are people on both the left and the right who literally just do not have the temperament and do not have what I would consider to be, let's call it, an ease with themselves and who they are, that they should ever get near a place like that, you know? And obviously, we're having that conversation again because of Trump. I suspect we would be if Cruz were at the top, right, too, because he's a guy who lacks any redeeming qualities whatsoever, and you can sense would do all sorts of nefarious things and hurt people without any empathy whatsoever. This stuff does matter, all right? So when people say, oh, that's getting in the gutter, and it's not getting in the gutter, because the character of who occupies that office, you and I and others, I assume, who listen to this show, not everybody, whatever, but we've had our disagreements with President Obama. I certainly think the last 2-3 years have been a lot better, and I've been a much bigger supporter of things he's done. He's been more bold in a manner which I wanted him to be earlier. But with that taken aside, I would sit here and say, if you were to ask me ranked on presidential character, I would give Obama an A+ every time in terms of, you know, how has he handled the dignity of that office, especially with the kind of crap that's been thrown at him. You know what I mean? The birth certificate stuff. How has he handled, I mean, the poise and ability to get up, and I don't remember which of those dinners it was, and be doing the comedy routine at the Gridiron or whatever dinner it was, while the SEAL team was going in to try to kill bin Laden and his presidency was hanging potentially in the balance. That's always, to me, been rather amazing, right? I think no matter what side you come down on that, you could say, you know, when it came to Trump, when it came to Obama's temperament, when it came to sort of his, you know, his dignity and all that, we always felt like, I did anyhow, that he's about as good as it gets, you know, and now we're looking at this complete opposite, this mirror image of that in Trump, you know, the short-fingered vulgarian, if you will.
But, you know, what scares me to a certain extent, too, is that this has so, I mean, what's going to happen over the course of the next 6 months, or maybe it's in July? I mean, it's hard to know whether or not this gets wrapped up with Trump before the convention. I'm starting to suspect it may not, but that we're going to go in and see some type of, I don't know, brokered convention that ends up.
You feel like that's what Romney's positioning himself for?
Well, Romney's totally running.
I think he's positioning himself to be the guy.
I think yesterday was the announcement of his shadow campaign. I mean,
that's what I mean.
And I think we're going to see
what he said he's doing. The big speech. Why is he giving a big speech at the University of Utah? I mean, he could just shoot this stuff out on Twitter, right? Put it up on his Facebook page, and these days it would get all the coverage it needs. But he's now making speeches, and he's now going and meeting with people privately.
Yep.
I've even heard rumors of, if it gets to that point, to deny Trump the delegates that he'd put his name in California and New York. I don't know how that would deny Trump the delegates, but just the fact that he's thinking that way shows that he's their plan B right now. I mean, maybe
well,
others,
I think
I don't
he's
know
probably
about
their plan. Yes, I mean plan D. I think it's probably,
yeah,
but
I mean,
they're just
exactly
down. They're down. You know, they're at the break the glass and pull the lever type of situation. And here's the thing, though, is that, like, I mean, this could go a number of different ways. We could see Romney give a speech in Florida before the election so that people vote for Rubio. Now, of course, there's been so many absentee ballots that's sort of wrapped up in some way. But or we could see him in Ohio give a speech for Kasich, and then maybe he could put his name in. I don't know if he could do it this late date in California or in New York.
The thing I read is it would be both California and New York if he did it.
And You know, the idea would be, I mean, I think at that point, I'm not sure if that actually helps him or not to have some of
That's
those
what
delegates.
I'm
because
don't know. If
he
Rubio's
gets
still in it, and those guys, I think, in a manner of speaking, just hurts them.
Well, if he gets to the to the convention,
they should get Glenn Beck to put his name in if they want to hurt Trump.
Yes, I think so. And but I'm saying, how are they going to justify? Like, that's the thing, is this seems so impossible to me, unimaginable, that they would get to the convention and Trump has, let's say, 800 delegates and Cruz has, let's say, 200 delegates and Rubio has 100 delegates and Kasich has 75 delegates or something like that. Let's just assume it's somewhere around there, right? And they get there. They suspend Rule 40, which says that you need to have won, I think it's 8 or 9 primaries. There's no way you can pick somebody who's gotten less delegate numbers than somebody. So you can't take Rubio or Cruz.
In this media age and with Donald Trump being who he is, there's no way. I mean, I don't know at that point, could he still run as an independent? Probably not. He'd need his name on
the ballot.
Yeah,
he wouldn't be able to. He wouldn't be able to run as an independent.
Right. I mean, I don't know how late. I mean, some of the ballot stuff is early. I know North Carolina and Texas are coming up. But there are some
by July 21st, you would need to I think like to get you would not there would be some states that it would be impossible and then the rest it would be practically impossible in terms
right,
of
but
the
if
deadlines.
He were able to do it in even 2 or 3 states, you could be talking about that making the difference. So
right.
that maybe is still a threat, or the threat is just that he
but
goes
I'm sorry,
out
if they go and
the
they take it from
rest
him
of the election and tells his people not to come out
right.
and vote.
Oh, he wouldn't even have to do that. I'm telling you, like, there would be physical confrontations in this place. But my point was that it is
I'm
easier.
I'm so going to Cleveland.
Yes.
You guys better come.
It
we'll
is
meet,
so, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go now. There is so, it's so much, it seems to me that it's easier to justify giving it in a brokered convention to somebody who hasn't won any delegates than it would be to give it to like a Rubio or a Cruz, right? Because
and somebody who's been the nominee before, because
right.
in the case of Romney
or Ryan,
to roll out old man McCain
or Ryan,
or Ryan, right? Because at least in that case, because he's also been a vice presidential candidate
right.
before. At least in that case, you're picking somebody who has some national experience, and you're saying we're not going to give it to one of the people that couldn't beat Trump,
right?
You know, I agree with you. I mean, you know, you think back in history. What you do, you know, how in the media age things change, right? I mean, the famous, most famous election, if you're into the history thing, is 1824 when Andrew Jackson actually had more electoral votes than either John Quincy Adams or Henry Clay. And I'm trying to remember who the fourth one was, but Henry Clay threw his to John Quincy Adams and they ended up beating the guy who had the most.
Right.
And there's a hell of a lot of resentment there and whatever. But can you imagine in the Twitter age that
Forget
happening?
It. Forget it. Not,
you know,
I mean, it just seems
it's
impossible.
A different animal.
But I think that, you know, to the extent that we would see a bloodbath if that happened there, we've seen like 1/8 of a bloodbath. I mean, just Romney going out and doing that. Like, how does Paul Ryan now? And I guess we saw it last night how they do this, right? They started the debate off where Donald Trump is a con man. He's lying to you. He has literally stolen from people in his businesses. He's abused you. And then within 120, 130 minutes later, yeah, no, I'd support him, though. I mean,
that's what I mean.
But in
all the Senate candidates,
how does Mitt Romney?
I mean,
how does Mitt Romney go out there speaking ostensibly for the Republican establishment and say this man is a threat to the country? First off, he waters it down by not saying it's such a joke for him not to say like you'd have to vote for Hillary Clinton. I mean, he's still not. It's
right.
It's just unbelievable to me.
But did you see that? There was a Washington Post. I think it was the Washington Post. It was a piece somewhere that had a list of the 30 or 35 either personalities, politicos, or you know, whoever they were who had said that they would not vote for Trump
right.
under any
Max
circumstances.
Right, Max Boot. Like, honestly, who
right.
gives
and,
a sh-
and, but, and a bunch of them were wimps, you know, and just said, you know, well, I'll vote for nobody then. I'll vote third party, I'll vote nobody. But there were a couple Republicans in there, say quite publicly, I don't want to vote for Hillary Clinton. She won't blow up the country, though.
Right, but you know
and
what?
I don't know.
Just, if,
you know those people will be at the Democratic convention.
right, exactly. They'll be paraded around. But you know what? I don't think there's that. I don't know how many there are. I really don't. Maybe there's some. I have no idea.
Although, but, you know, maybe the Republican convention now, they'll have their newest Joe Lieberman and Jim Webb. So.
Well, that's right. Joe Lieberman, I mean, excuse me, Jim Webb has said that... I won't vote for Clinton, but I may for Trump. And
that should tell you, you know, it's funny. It makes me think of almost of like the Al Pacino line from The Godfather 3 where they're pulling him back in. You can't. It's sort of like, you know, Jim Webb, who's a smart guy, he's tried to escape his love affair with the Scots-Irish and how pure and awesome they are, mm-hmm. which is what he is. And it seems based around Iraq being such a stupid war, and some not as many, nearly as many as he pretended at the beginning, some more sort of moderate or populist economic positions left, you know, the Republican Party for a bit and became a Democrat. But it's kind of like, you know, when you write one book after another and about the you know, the, what was it, the fighting faith or whatever, and extolling the virtues of the Scots-Irish in Appalachia, and you... Yeah, and basically you go out there and you at one point defended the guys at Tailhook and said Vietnam was a noble war and the leftists took it away from you, and a number of the other things he's done. Oh, the Confederate flag he defended. You kind of always knew that he was going to be pulled back in, didn't you? It's almost like he creeped a little bit out of the door and used some common sense and looked at where the Republican Party was. But culturally, he's always still been a Republican. You know what I mean? And I guess it's not that shocking to me, sadly. I mean, back then, I tried to believe in the story of this Secretary of the Navy under Reagan who realized that his people were being ripped off. But I think a lot of it's the story. It tells you the broader story about these, you know, white working class men, or at least the ones who feel like they are and feel that same resentment that clearly is still with Jim Webb. And no matter how much you throw the economic stuff in front of them, you can get very few of them to switch sides based upon their economic interest. It's something about that cultural tribal identification always seems to pull them back.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the reason why you can contest Mississippi all you want or Kentucky. You're just not going to win, even if you sit there and you're doing things that are positive for people economically. It's a shame. But there just seem to be too many other things blocking that.
Apparently,
I'm not saying that's that way with all white working class men, because there's plenty of them that are swing voters. I'm talking about really the hardened ones.
Michael's telling me that Webb said, with Hillary, things will be the same. With Trump, it could get really good or really bad. And this is like, now this calculation, this is what I wanted to, like, you know, sort of get to, what I was trying
I'll
to get
say
to.
Quickly, how does it get really good with Trump?
All right, well, look, I mean, just put that aside for a moment. He just may mean, like, who knows? I mean, Trump may be... who knows? And you know, but put that aside for a second. That quality of like effort. Let's just roll the dice, okay? Because that is not a something that is exclusive to Jim Webb. That is something that I hear on the nominal left in some fashion or another. And here's what I'm afraid of with a guy like Trump. And this is why, like, when people ask me, like, does Trump have a chance? And I'm like, well, I think there's like a 20% or a 30% chance in the general that he wins. I think there's an 80 or 70% chance that he gets destroyed. But here's why, what I get worried about. And part of it is, like, you know, that crap show that we watched last night, is that it's almost like you will watch that and you just throw your hands up and you just sort of, like, if you let yourself go and forget, like, how scary this is, it just breeds a certain nihilism, it seems to me. And, you know, when you think about the amount of crap that was not dealt with under the Obama administration, ranging from the torture and the lying into war and the no accountability for the Bush administration, through to no accountability for bankers for destroying the economy.
We opened a Pandora's box there during the Bush years that was never shut.
It was never shut. And the Obama administration had, you know, in some ways, you know, flung it open a little bit even more, I think, with, like, you know, no accountability for what was going on Wall Street.
That's
and
right.
And then some of it was
their fault, and some of it was not. And that, I think, what flung it open even further, of course, was just the race of the person we're talking about.
Well, perhaps. But, I mean, look, the bottom line is the Department of Justice had plenty of leeway to show that there was some measure of accountability for the
no,
massive
I agree
fraud.
With you 100%.
So you have
saying,
this.
I think what made it even more extreme was the, you know.
Well,
exactly.
Yes.
Go ahead.
But you have this incredible amount of cynicism that is out there, and then sort of you mix this in with this sort of, like, you know what? I mean, you see, because they're going to rehabilitate either Trump or whatever these guys by the time that we get to the general. You know that there's, you know, we saw it with, you know, I mean, I Morning Joe is not the the pinnacle of responsibility in, you know, grown up voices here, but it took him like, I think, 48 hours to go from this is disqualifying Donald Trump playing footsie with KKK to welcome back to the show, Donald. So you had a good night last night.
That's who Joe Scarborough.
Well, I understand, but you know what? It's not that far from the guys who sit around that table on Bloomberg News, and then it's not that far. I mean,
oh yeah, I'm not arguing with you.
I'm just saying,
I think overall,
they're going to rehabilitate this stuff.
I think most of them will.
And there's a lot of people out there who I think are just going to say, F it. Let's just roll the dice and see what happens. Either this turns out to be a huge disaster that, you know, I think I'm feeling, you know, the people who say that, like this could turn out really bad, but screw it, are the people who I think, you know, I don't know where Jim, putting Jim Webb aside, I hear it from people who ostensibly are fighting for a world that is better, for everybody universally, but also, you know, they would subject, there'd be a lot of victims. I mean, we saw this.
Well, some of the faux populism also has done that, right? I mean, Trump saying that he'd oppose free trade, you know, but remember, it's always like I'd oppose free trade, except for deals I negotiate, because I negotiate a good deal. So by definition, if he decides to do free trade, it's good. You know what I mean? I mean, and clearly, when he, you know, it's faux populism, because otherwise he wouldn't be having his clothes and everything else he does made in China and Mexico if he really meant what he was saying.
Well, he's a businessman.
So, of course, what that's, you know, when you're running the U.S. government, you do certain things in who you think it's in the interest of, who you're representing, and we know who Donald Trump's representing. It's the Republican Party. So, he, you know, I think that makes some people that otherwise maybe are not even, I wouldn't call them, you know, they're not progressive, certainly, but people that are sort of more independent-ish, you know, and certainly more men, more, you know, white men who are sort of, I call them socially moderate, maybe, whatever, and it's they're made to feel a little bit better by some of this stuff. Like, oh, yeah, he's not really that crazy, and whatever, and they'll jump in. So, yeah, I think you're right when it comes to the Republican establishment. I do think most of them will try and find a way to rehabilitate him. What I'm interested in are the ones who are really the ones who buy and sell the Republican establishment, who care about these economic issues and are worried he's not going to do what they want him to do. Mm. That's who I'm interested in, like the Koch brothers and what they decide to do.
Well, they supposedly are not spending any money against Trump. I find that hard to believe.
Not against, but they had all this money they were going to spend for whoever the Republican nominee was. They have supposedly said they would not spend any money on Trump's behalf because he doesn't believe in the stuff they believe in, which clearly he doesn't. I mean, he may not on trade, on whatever. You can't trust him on anything, but he's not going to be a guy who's crusading to make the government smaller, which is what they want.
Well, it's not, you know, just that. I mean? It's look, let's be honest. I mean, what the Koch brothers want is they want a certain control, right, of whoever, and they feel that's the problem with Trump. I mean, that's the problem that they all have with Trump, is that they don't think that he's going to be controllable. And they're probably, you know, right to some extent. Now, that doesn't mean that he doesn't have aligned agendas anyways. Go ahead.
Well, let me just throw this out there for fun, right?
He's a secret Clinton plant.
No, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking there is somebody who guaranteed that he wouldn't run as an independent, is on the ballot in all 50 states because he belongs to an actual party, at least at this point. That would be Gary Johnson. And one of the Kochs ran, which one? I don't remember. Was it Charles or David ran on the libertarian line for president in 1980 or
vice president? Vice president. He bought himself onto that ticket for, I think it's a half a.
Well, I mean, you got $900 million sitting there, and you got a guy on the ballot in all 50 states who actually was a 2-term governor of New Mexico, likable guy, and all that sort of stuff. Who knows, man? That could be fun.
Oh, I'm
just saying. I don't know. And they wouldn't be extolling the virtues of a Gary Johnson who supports gay marriage and pot legalization, obviously. They'd be extolling the economic virtues of where he's as far right as they are.
I don't know
that they're going to do that. I'm just saying, if you were them, it's hard to imagine being them, because I'd have to get really, really scummy and, you know, dislike most people. I'd be a bit of a misanthrope and the rest. But trying to think like them for a second, I would think that the worst thing what you wouldn't want if you're them, if your interests are, you know, re-educating, quote unquote, the public about what the economy should be, you wouldn't want both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton running and bashing trade at the same time, running and saying we should raise Social Security. Running, I mean, that would be bad for you. You'd want to put your money behind somebody who at least
But what I would do is I'd take that $900 million and I would buy myself, you know, 50 congressmen, a couple of state houses, and maybe a senator. I mean, that's basically what I would do with that money. I think at that point, they just say, like, you know what? This is going to be one of those cycles where, I mean, I'm sure they also got to think on some level, like, we want to be alive when we get named Commerce Secretary or whatever it is. Like, that's got to be on their mind. But I think they would just.
I guess so.
Well, I
guess it's what they decide
Gary Johnson,
in their interest, because part of it's.
Gary Johnson is not the guy I want to represent me, even if I'm them. I mean, he's a bit of a goofball, it seems to me.
He's, you know.
I don't know. I don't know. But
I'm just saying, I think you would want some voice out there pushing your, I mean, you're still, a lot of this is about educating the public as they see it and letting them know about the benefits of a free market system. Well, if you'll gum up the works with some congressmen and senators, but you won't. Stop. You won't have anything to counter the rhetoric. I don't know. Look, it's a fun thing to think about.
Right.
You know, chances are these guys don't take lots of risks. Chances are you're right. And they'll just sort of, you know, but it'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be interesting to see, because you're right. I think most of the establishment will, in the end, come home. And it'll be interesting to see who of them has any principles and doesn't, and how they will handle that not coming home. Will it just be, I'm not voting for Trump? Will it be, I'm not voting for Trump and voting for Hillary? Will it be, I'm not voting for Trump, but voting for Gary Johnson? You know, there's all sorts of things. I can tell you that certainly these guys are quite often more talk than action, because you heard about, obviously, the super PAC to stop Trump, right? And they
right.
put Jeb Bush's former communications guy. Yeah, I don't see any ads on in Ohio right now.
Right. Where's that, where's that horn sound? We got to play that.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just saying that the idea was to play it. This is what I say with those anti-Trump things. I mean, look. I mean, I'll tell you why the Koch brothers are not going to run Gary Johnson, because for the same reason why all these other things are sort of short-circuited, the Koch brothers do not want. And now they may be spending money against Trump right now. They're not going to announce.
I'm sure,
they're going to say publicly that they're not, because they
don't want him attacking them.
Exactly. And they don't want the publicity from Trump. And look, these guys have the same mentality. I got to think in their mind, they're thinking like, it's not inconceivable this guy will get into office and screw us by doing something that is just sort of, you know, in the same way they think.
Yeah, by coming after us. I know what you're saying. We're taking a risk.
Yeah.
Just put your head down. Assume that he's not what he says he is, which is pretty easy to assume, and that he is buyable once he gets there.
Of course.
And if he's not buyable with money, he's certainly buyable with flattery and all the other crap.
Look,
you know, appeal to his vanity.
Listen, anybody who contemplates a Trump presidency has to realize, like, it's 1 hour a day. Honestly. This guy is not going to. There's a reason why he's in marketing and branding as opposed to actually building. I mean,
right.
I'm not besmirching a marketing and branding. I would like to be doing that. I would like to just have branded Majority Report shows. Anybody wants a Majority Report show, and I'll be at home and I'll be playing video games. But the bottom line is, he is going to need personnel. He's going to need people. And really what's going to happen is, at one point when it becomes clear this guy is for real, everybody on the right is going to be lining up to see if they can get their people in, if they can get on his gravy train. That's what this is all about. But
yeah, in the end, and if they can convince him, you know, they probably figure once he gets there, he's a business guy, very easy to convince of their point of view, as opposed to, you know, I mean, it's not like it takes a lot for this guy to change his mind on things. So I think that's probably right. I mean, it's just interesting to sort of contemplate all the various things that
this
could
is
happen.
Not a guy who's going to be micromanaging
again,
things. You know,
if this super PAC that has the Ricketts money and the Jeb Bush guy and whatever, if they were going to be doing anything to stop him, they have to be doing it now. They have to be making sure, because the only strategy, again, is not one person beating him. It's denying him delegates and whatever. Because, and so they have to be having Kasich win in Ohio, and they have to be helping Rubio win in Florida. I mean, so I don't know what's going on in Florida because I don't live there. But I can tell you right now, there's nothing going on here. And we're now 10 days out from the election here.
It's so strange. It's so strange. I mean, it's so strange. Cliffy, we will touch base again next week, and I have a feeling that we're going to be talking about how freaking insane this is, and
it's a long ongoing conversation because I don't know that any of us could have predicted the overall.
I don't think
any of us would have said a year ago, I think there'll be a presidential candidate up on stage telling the entire country he's got a big dick.
Well, I think we would have said it would have been metaphorical. But we didn't know it would actually be literal.
No, literally. It's true.
All right, Cliffy. No, always a pleasure.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Take care, man.
Right. We got to get to the great Judy Gold. Should we play the Jimmy Reefer Cake song? We have a Jimmy Reefer Cake song. Is that right?
Yes.
It is a minute 30.
It is a minute 30. All right. Well, let's play it, and I will call Judy Gold.
Presenting the debate smashdown theme hosted by James of Reefer Cake. That's me with a beat by the Death Leopards. Presenting the first debate, Michael Brooks of Majority FM versus Sargon of Akkad. The topic, regressive left. Let's hear it.
Answer the question, then we'll go.
I have answered your question.
No, you haven't. You've
there is no answer good enough for you.
All right, I've answered your questions on Sharia.
Michael Brooks attacking with answering the question. Answer
it. Do you agree with it? And you kind of went blah, blah, blah about that.
So do because I've already answered four questions when you've answered none.
Answer the question is the theme of this one.
I still would love to give you another example, opportunity to answer any of my questions.
Like you agreed to. So...
Any questions that you can answer? No. Okay. We're 21 in, 22 in, no answer. All right, go ahead.
Now, in 30 seconds, I answer the question. Regressive left, one example historically would be women's suffrage. Rallying around getting the right to vote, yet suppressing individual values by being the driving force behind prohibition of alcohol. And finally, who do I award winning this debate? I award it a draw. Michael Brooks loses points on repeating answering the question. Sargon of Akkad, I expected better of you, my friend. Better luck next time.
Wow, that was Jimmy Reefer Cake with sort of a montage. A montage of the debate that Michael had with the King of Mesopotamia.
It was the King would not answer a question. It was frustrating.
I guess
he instigated my inner Chris Matthews, and I own that.
Well, all right. Well, that's the thing. You can't ask the King of Mesopotamia to ask you answer your questions. That's just not the way it works unless you're a duke.
Apparently.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, wait a second here. I am so happy. I have been asking her and harassing her to come on, but she's too busy because she's just everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome back to the program the wonderful Judy Gold. Judy, how terrified are you of this?
Oh, hey everyone! Like I get no like claps or anything. It's fine.
Wait a second. Yes, you do. Hold on.
Thank you very much.
Tell her how excited we were.
We were all excited for you to come. I mean, I knew you'd be freaking out right now. Honestly.
I'm sure. Listen, I literally, I'm scared. I'm like, okay, I have a house in Provincetown. I can get there. No white supremacists are going to come there. And then my girlfriend Elisa's like, well, it's gay there, so they're going to come and shoot us. I'm like, they're not going to travel on Route 6 all the way to kill gay people, okay? I'm in shock. Like, can you imagine if Eleanor Roosevelt was watching this effing debate? I mean, he opens with a dick joke.
Right.
First of all, it makes The View look like a salon in France in the 20s. I'm not kidding.
It really does. Like, you just, it has dropped the baseline for this stuff just like so low. It does. It makes
I don't want to hear about your cock. I don't care. And that, it's like a roast, but a bad one. It's like a shitty open mic night.
It was. It really. Did you? All right. So wait. Now. All right. Let's back up a little bit. What did you see? Mitt Romney came out, because I mean, we should tell people that you obviously. It's partly because of the nature of your work. You have the opportunity to sort of like get all this stuff in real time. I mean, I think comedians also generally are watching this stuff. So when Romney comes out there.
Yeah, but you know what? I was on stage last Friday night and I started talking about Trump, and I was just like, look, if it's going to go to this level, you know, why doesn't anyone discuss the hair? That the fact that he grows 3 feet of hair from the back of his head and then creates a pancake that is, you know, glued to the top. I mean, no one says, you know, any. So anyway, these people are like, we like Trump. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? We're in Manhattan.
Really?
And then this other table's like, well, we like him. And then they start screaming, Trump for president. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I can't even do my act.
Where was this? What club was this? Were these people from New York? Or were they from, like,
A couple of them were, yes. It was in stand-up New York, and it really pissed me off.
Wow.
And then a fight broke out after I left. You know, I like that.
Right.
So, So that was that. And it's so hard to get through people's heads that it's a job. You don't have to like the person. Everyone in politics lies. It's a fuck. First of all, can I just say something? If you know, Bernie Sanders is a socialist Jew, okay?
Right.
Do you honestly think if Hillary wasn't a woman, like, I mean, they'd rather go for a socialist Jew than a woman who's prepared. You know, I just, it's like, what the fuck is going on? And then Trump, first of all, the whole Mitt Romney thing, it was like, you know, the principal coming out to the schoolyard. Guys, listen, there's a lot of stuff going around. It was like an assembly. It was like one of those. You know, when you were in school and they're like, there's an assembly and I don't know why. I think it's this. And blah, 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 blah. That's exactly what it was.
That's right. He summoned everybody to Utah and everybody's thinking, like, is he going to announce that he has cancer? What's going on?
Right. And it's like, what do you think? Oh, I heard so-and-so was smoking pot in the bathroom, you know? And it's like,
actually, Mila comes back with stuff like that. We were called down to the auditorium, and apparently some fifth graders who went out to lunch, somebody stole a Snickers bar from a bodega, and we all lost lunch.
Right. So all because of them, you are not allowed to go out to lunch. You know who you are. First of all, it's like watching these white GOP assholes who have been assholes, won't even talk to Obama, say the most awful things, and now they're losing power. It's like they're having a fucking temper tantrum, and this guy's like, well, you know what? Fuck it. They did it to themselves. That's their voice now. Some fucking reality TV. And like, I really feel like they're gonna, you know, like in 1968 with the riots and everything.
Yeah.
I feel like we're going to have the same thing, but they're all going to have guns. They're going to have their assault weapons.
So you're talking about in Cleveland at the convention.
Right.
Okay.
This is how bad I can't sleep. Ted Cruz with that white thing on his fucking lip. Have you thought about
medication? It sounds like you're...
Oh my God, I'm on Wellbutrin, I'm on Paxil, I can't. I just meditated. I just 20 minutes of meditation. I go to the gym, I can't. Ted fucking Cruz with the fucking, his daughter even hates his fucking guts.
Have you seen the video? Have you seen this video of something that fell out of his mouth during the debate?
Yes! No, it's so bad that... First of all, I was trying to figure it. You know how, like, when I don't know if this has happened to you, but I call them throat cheeses. It's like all of a sudden you feel something on the back of your throat and you're like, ew, what is that? And then you can't get it out. And then all of a sudden it just pops out.
Tonsil stones.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Tonsil like that. And it smells really bad. You know what I mean? Like if you break it up in your finger and you're like, ew. Anyway, I feel like he had like some sort of tonsil stone thing slip out on his lip. He's talking. It's moving. It's like you can't even focus on it. He's not going to be president because of that fucking, well, because he's an asshole. And like, ew. You know, the only thing worse are those people with the white things that come on the side of their, in the corners of their mouths. You're talking to them and all of a sudden this white crap is, you know,
this was
forming
pretty bad.
And it's getting worse.
I got to say, I watched it and I'm almost, you know, maybe we'll cut it into our conversation here. I don't honestly, like, I watched it this morning. I was going to play the, cause they slowed down the video and what you saying, Kelly's saying to play it. I'll play it. All right. Let me play it. You're okay. Only going to hear it, but I'll do the play by play. But honestly, I honestly think I may throw up. He must know.
Oh,
it's
so gross.
Do you think
he
knows
it?
Do you think he knows it's there? Because
no. And then he looks in the audience and it's like, I think someone said like his wife is probably like, lip, lip, you know?
All right. Well, let's play it. Here it is. Hopefully you'll be able to hear this. Oh, wait, are you going to play it? I can't play it. Okay, he'll play it. Here it comes.
$500 billion in federal spending, specifying exactly what I would cut.
Moving.
It's easy to say it.
Going up and down on his lip.
But one of the great disconnects to all the people, all of the voters, I understand the folks who are supporting Donald right now.
There it goes.
It's gone. You're angry at Washington. And he uses angry rhetoric.
Oh. He needs it. Oh, no.
What the fuck? What speed was that? Was that him after he had a stroke? That was so slow.
Well, it slowed down. So this is slow mode so that you can see. I mean.
Oh.
But don't you think that, like, Trump in the next debate is going to go, it's going to call him, like,
oh,
you know,
oh my God,
white
yes.
lip or, like, pebble lip or, you know.
Yeah. Wait, could we just say something? Like,
yes.
They opened the debate with the, you've said he wets his pants. What the fuck is going on? Like, that's how they, you've said things about him wetting his pants and his hands. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you're going to fucking repeat that shit. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I can't believe this is the classlessness. You know, there's no class at all.
It's amazing. I mean, the only thing that I could hope is that maybe, I don't know. I know I'm kidding. I'm deluding myself here, but I'm hoping that maybe what happens is there becomes such a narrative like this is so beneath us, but that's not going to happen. That it would be, you know, somehow toxic to do this in the general election. It's not going to happen, but I don't know.
He has, okay, first of all, the kids are so annoying. Like the two boys with the slick back hair.
The Trump boys,
okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and then how does Ivanka not say, you know what, Dad, I really wouldn't talk about this or that, or, you know, like, and Melania, whatever the hell her name is, sounds like a skin disease, Melania. I mean, what has happened? I'm like embarrassed. It's like if I went to another country, I'd be like, I'm really sorry. No, I didn't. You know, it's like, it's embarrassing.
It's beyond embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Just, I mean, that's the thing. It's like I almost feel bad even talking about it because it seems so. Every time I feel like we talk about it, it just becomes a little bit more acceptable and normal. Like it's almost like one of those things. Like
right.
it should be like that's the forbidden zone. We can't. If we go in there, you know, something happens that is so right. horrible. Like you know, like on Planet of the Apes. That you know, it's the way you keep them right. out of the. I don't know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I'm telling you, this is the thing. He would not pass at a comedy club because they'd be like, no, it's too dirty, it's too immature, there's no subs. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, even people would be like, oh, he's disgusting, I'm not going to go see, you know, that's for little kids. It is like my kids fighting. It is so immature, and his facial expressions, and the interrupting, and what the fuck has happened? Okay.
I sort of like think that, you know, Andrew Dice Clay must be sitting out there going like, missed it.
But
blew
he did
it.
He shit. Actually did it with some irony.
Well, to a degree. I don't know. Judy, did he? Was right. Andrew Dice
no.
Clay doing his irony or not?
You know, as you get to know him as he gets older, then you realize, oh, there was probably a little, yeah.
He was probably just.
But you don't, you know, just doing, you know, like Howard does.
Right.
You know, tries
right.
to stir brings on like people so they can look you know retarded and stupid. Oh, I said retarded, sorry. But it is infuriating. It's infuriating.
It's crazy.
I don't like there are people like that guy who's the guy with the white hair who's always on CNN and got in a fight with Van Jones about the KKK.
Oh, Jeffrey Lord, I think is his name. He's like a Trump.
What the fuck is wrong with him? You're going to fight about the KKK with a black person?
It's unbelievable.
Are you fucking kidding me? You're going to say, no. Shut the... it's unbelievable. How can anyone support him? Anyone who has fully read an entire book from cover to cover. Any book.
Even a cooking book. Anything. Anyone, I guess...
Right.
Let me ask you this.
He says what he means.
I want
exactly.
to know, like, are you picking up on this? Like, when you go and you're doing shows outside of New York, I mean, in New York, I'm not 100% surprised, actually, that there's a substantial amount of support for Trump. I don't think that he could beat Clinton in New York, but I think that it would be closer than we would imagine. Because, you know, there's
right.
this, he's got a very
New York
sensibility. And,
right.
but when you go around the country, are you hearing sort of the same stuff?
I just, you know, I do the Steve Harvey show and I'm on a panel. You know what I hear now a lot when I go around? It's all about the Lord and Jesus and the Bible, you know? It's like, which you can't compete, especially if you're a lesbo Jew, you can't compete with that. But it's like,
Jesus has
you know,
not fully given you, has not signed off on you necessarily.
Right, well, it's just that if you are going to use this book to think for you or tell you how to think, like then there's no, you can't argue with that. You can't, there's no discussion. There's no room for any sort of evolution or growth. It's like, well, you know, the Bible said, blah, 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 blah. Okay, great. What does that have to do with politics? Like, I don't fucking care about Corinthians. Just, I care about maybe, you know, if you read Doris Kearns Goodwin, that would be something good to quote out of. But not, you know, it's just like, I don't, there's other religions, you know, this is about history. It's about technology. It's about engineering. It's about so many different facts. It's about facts. And yet, you know, I have to hear about, you know, what Jesus said about the gay. Well, he didn't say half the crap they say, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And the abortion, shut the fuck up.
Now, wait a second. Are you saying,
and he's, wait,
are you saying that, that
I'm really clear today, aren't I?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, this is a time when, like, I think, you know, people are, it's very justifiable to be panicked. Hold on, Kelly wants to say something.
I feel like you
Kelly.
Are just... Hi, Judy.
Hi.
You are just the voice that's in my head. I just am not saying it out loud. I'm just suppressing it and being like, just calm down. Don't think about it because you're going to freak out. And what you're doing is a lot healthier. You're actually freaking out, which is what is a proper response.
Right.
Everything you're saying is exactly what I say to myself. And I'm like, okay, calm down. Right. Just watch TV. Do something. Look at something else.
But I feel like, you know, I think it's because I'm older. Like, I used to have faith, not their kind of fucking faith, but just that everything was going to work out. But now, the fact that, you know, get over the gay thing. That has nothing to, what does me having two kids and a partner have to do with your fucked up three marriages? Like, how does that affect you, you know?
Well, I did shut down my cupcake business. I just wanted you to know.
I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And it was, they were so good.
They were so good. They were so good.
They were tremendous.
And they were so much bigger than Baked by Melissa fucking crumbs. Anyway, but it's like they're still using, like, telling a woman what to do with her body. I'm not going to, like, the fact that they won't, you know, Mitch, fuck, the ugliest man, like, fuck you. Scalia, he's in the middle of letting go of his last breath, and he's already like, we're not going to do that again. I mean, it's like, how old are you? How the fuck old are you? No wonder the Republican Party is going crazy. But then, now it's like, see, this is what you were all about, you fuckheads. You are, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I'm scared. I'm really scared. I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm scared. Because he's given a voice to these people who are dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, these militia guys are like, we're for Trump. Like, and he's like, oh, that's great. So I'm on the Steve Harvey Show. I never even finished this, right?
Right.
This is over a month ago. And the whole thing was, is Trump Hitler? It's right when it first started coming out. So, and they're all, no, he shot Simon. And I said,
wait, what?
Okay. I don't know. That's exactly how I heard it.
Okay.
So, so, you know, it's all the people. He's saying what he blames, and he blames us, and that's why, you know, he's telling the truth. Blah, 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 blah. Right? Okay, that was clearer. Okay. So I said, you know what? He's not Hitler. Okay? I said, you know, people use Hitler way too much when they're talking about something that's bad or evil. Okay? Like, that's the litmus test. You can't even compare. Okay? I said, he's not Hitler, but he's dangerous. And I swear to God, I said this like 6 weeks ago. I said, but I can guarantee you, if Hitler was alive and he endorsed Trump, Trump would be like, well, hey, Hitler endorsed me. And they're like, nah, he wouldn't.
Don't agree with everything
and
he did. But he did. There was a lot of great things he did.
Very nice to me. Look, he's a good guy. It's true.
He's shown me respect. I could go off on Hitler.
Say Hitler didn't have power. He was a good speaker. He was a really good speaker.
I could start on him.
Then find out he had a micro penis.
I could say he's a bad guy. I could say he's a good guy. But look.
Exactly. It's pretty insane. Steve Harvey going to have
Are
you going to debate that again?
What
does he do? Does he put you on a panel about Trump?
Oh, yeah, I do panel. But they do pop culture. We did, we've done Conway and the Kardashians, stuff that people are really fascinated with. And, you know, I'm always like, you know, I'm me.
Right.
Like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm scared. I lived through the AIDS crisis. I've, you know, been an activist for GLBTQRSTUVWXTYZ rights. I've marriage equality. I've marched on Washington countless times. I've done, and then 9/11. And it's like, I feel like people, like,
the younger generation who is like, feel the burn, feel the burn. And that's great because I love Bernie, but they don't realize that there's so much at stake here.
Yeah, tell me, like, your kids, now, your oldest son is what? He's 18 or 19 at this point, right?
19, yeah.
Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. And then your second oldest is what? He's like 16 now or 17?
14. 14.
Oh, 14, okay.
14.
So what are they saying? Like, Mila, you know, she's only 10, and she's like, Trump is horrible, but I think that's just, she just doesn't, you know, she sees him and
yeah,
just thinks
he's because they hear it.
Right. But what is,
you know,
what
the younger one asks, well, he asked me a lot of questions, the younger one. You know, he'll ask, like, why and, you know, because I'm so, it's like everything I do. I'm like, don't order from there. They give money to, like, I am awful. And he's like, oh, we had Chick-fil-A. I said, you had what? You had Chick-fil-A? Do not come home. Like, you know, so he, that they tease me now, like, oh, I think we're going to get Chick-fil-A. You know, but I didn't let them eat Domino's for a really long time. I'm like really bad. Henry is now sort of the older one is like getting, you know, now he defends me. Ben, you're giving money to people who hate us. You know, so they're much. Yeah, they're really in, they're into it. And I think they think Trump is. But, you know, it's like at that age, you don't think anything horrible is going to happen. I mean, you don't, they haven't lived.
This is their
they
baseline,
to
too. I mean, this is their baseline, right?
Right.
I mean, this becomes like, oh, yeah, I know what a bad candidate is. It's Donald Trump as
right.
opposed to, like,
right.
I don't know, Bob Dole.
Right, exactly. And then also the veterans. Like, how many, I can't stand when they're all talking about Obama's done nothing for the veterans. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Why do we have veterans that are...
Do all
so
those,
many young people. Those, awful.
All those
it's
vets
awful.
Talk like Jim Backus. Why is that?
I have no idea. But I feel so bad for these guys who've lost everything at PTSD. They're, you know, it's awful for that fucking bullshit weapons of mass destruction.
Well, that's the thing. The only person who's ever had the guts to go on a debate stage, Republican or Democrat, to say that, Donald Trump.
It's Donald Trump. And then I'm like, oh, that was good. And then I have to remind myself, I hate him, you know. But there are certain things that are, you know, that he says that are absolutely, but that's fine. But I don't want to hear about your dick and balls.
Well,
and,
to be fair, he did not say anything about his testicles. We still have a couple more debates, though.
Okay. All right. You're right. I'm sorry. I think I'm overreacting. You're right.
Judy,
I don't know. I don't know what to do. I just meditated and obviously that didn't work.
Well, I feel like this has been cathartic
minutes.
For everybody in a way. I mean, I feel thank God it's the weekend. I mean, I'm going to have to
wait. Can I just say one more thing?
Yes,
please.
I wonder
Chris
if
Christie is a fat piece of shit. I'm done with him. Okay. You know, oh, you can't say he's fat. You can't say he's fat. Then you're, you know what? He's so fucking fat. And let me tell you something. If Chris Christie was named Christine Christie, there's no way Trump would let her endorse him and stand behind him when she's a fat person. You know what I mean? It's like, can you imagine if that was a woman? He
right.
would be like, oh, she's a fat pig. This guy, he's not even fat. It's like he has a whole other thing on in the middle of his body that just goes. I mean, like he tucks his shirt in and takes like he's. It's. Sorry.
No, I really loathe Chris Christie. I'm really hoping.
Oh,
that,
I hate him.
I'm hoping that he gets indicted. That's my big. That's my big hope for this year.
And the fact that he. How does he, I mean, he's so transparent. You're like, how many times has he screamed at teachers? He's called people idiots, you know? And yet he, you know, it's like the bigger bully won.
Yep.
bigger bully won.
Yep.
You, you know,
And everyone's like, and the fact is that anyone tweeted, oh, I feel sorry for Chris. I don't fucking feel sorry for Chris Christie.
Oh, God.
I feel schadenfreude for Chris Christie. I love it. I wish he stood up there for 4 fucking hours. First of all, he didn't have the podium to lean on, so he must have been dying. You know, he can't even fucking stand up during the debates.
Oh, Judy, I'm so glad we had a chance to talk. I feel like I'm going to have to drink half a bottle less of vodka this weekend because of this conversation. Like, I feel like, because I've found myself just, that's
was
what I've...
Was it too much?
No, it was perfect. It was exactly what I needed. I mean, you don't understand. Like, the only way I'm, like, dealing with this, I'm finding, like, I think I'm going to have maybe a half to three quarters, maybe a bottle of wine tonight, just to sort of cleanse my palate of the
day. Oh, I'm having
the
whole thing. And then I'm having tequila afterwards. That's how fucking pissed off I am.
It's pretty crazy.
I'm going to start doing heroin. I've never done it before. Huh?
You're going to just start snorting heroin just for... Yeah.
I got to do something. I can't live like this.
Well, Judy...
I can't do heroin. It's too much. I'm already on all the antidepressants and pot. Okay.
Judy,
You know what?
What?
I have to hang up because I'm going to go. I think I might have an abortion today. I mean, I'm 53. I haven't had sex with a guy in, you know, what, 30-something years. So, but, you know, it'd be fun activity because that's what they think we do.
It's Friday night. It's Friday afternoon. Why wouldn't you
go? It's Friday night. What can I do? I mean, it's unbelievable. They can stick it in, you know. They're not held responsible at all. The woman has to stop her fucking life at 17 because you had to stick it in, and then you're like, no, she can't do that. Fuck you.
There's got to be consequences
for
sex. Judy, thank you so much. Please,
I'm sorry.
Please come on
again. Was it over the top?
No, it was fantastic. I think everybody needed this.
The Chris Christie material alone.
Just going to put that guy.
I mean, when you think of how he speaks to people.
Horrible.
Actually, can I ask you a quick question?
All right. Michael has a question for you.
My mother was saying, because she grew up in Long Island. I didn't grow up in New York, but she was saying that people like Trump and Christie are this like very specific type of like tri-state guy that you can only truly fully appreciate how repulsive they are.
Can I just say something?
Yes. I wanted to know what you thought of that.
I just said yesterday. Yesterday, I just said to my cousin, I said, you know what, because he's my publicist too, but I said to him, I'm from New Jersey, and that is the exact kind of kid I went to high school and grammar school with who called me Bigfoot and Sasquatch and tortured me every fucking day of my life.
That's what my mom was talking about.
Yeah, exact. That is. That is a prototype. Yeah, well, fuck you. I mean, first of all, he waited 9 years to marry, you know, to have kids with Mary Pat because he wanted to make sure they liked each other. What the fuck is wrong with you?
That sounds like a lie to me. That sounds like a lie. You know, I have to say, there is that type of guy from New Jersey. There was a lot of that in Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
I feel like
true. That's
why I know these guys.
Sure.
Slightly different version, but same.
A lot of like, let's go to the parking lot and wait for the faggos to show up from that other school, and we're going to get in a fight with them.
Right, right, exactly.
And of course,
exactly.
I'm not implying
exactly
I was one of those guys.
It is.
I was the guy who would stay in the car and hold the beer and just watch, wait.
I will wait in here.
I will take care
of
it. I'll make sure everybody gets a nice drink. Everyone,
you go get the homos, guys. I'll keep the beers cool.
I'm going to keep, I'm going to have all of the Bush Light. We'll have it in the car. And when you're done, we'll come back and I'll make sure everyone, I'm going to make sure none of it has gotten skunked or is like too going to frothy when I open it up for you.
You know what? The media, this is the other thing. They take his bait every fucking time. So Hillary Clinton wins Super Tuesday. She makes her announce press conference. Press conference. Oh, okay. And then Fatty introduces him. Did you see the video?
No.
Where he tells...
Which one? Where he
tells him to go home?
Yes, I did.
I mean, he's like, all right, you get on the plane, you go home. Okay.
Yes.
Well, he's the non-dominant primate.
We need that video of him saying that I was not held hostage, too. Yeah, Matt will pull that.
Right, yeah. Well, your fucking face was.
That was strange, though, wasn't it? He had the weirdest look on his face.
Yeah, I know. First of all, he was probably like, oh, fuck, I need, like, a chair. or, you know, I'm starving. You know, who the fuck knows what he's thinking? I gotta bang Mary Pat. I don't know. And don't tell me that he didn't know about Bridgegate.
Least likely thought.
I don't know. He knows everything everyone fucking does, but except for that. Fuck you, you fucking... Ugh. Sorry.
All right, Judy.
This is what I do. This is what I've become.
I was just thinking about it. I hope nobody calls social services for your kids. Like, this is not... I don't know. Like, you do this around the kids?
But no, I love my kids.
No, I know you love my kids.
I don't know.
Just, you know, I worry about you.
Henry called me. I'm going to tell you. He said, you know, there was a big, you know, his frat just did this big philanthropic thing. They started a foundation because two of the kids in the frat, their mother died suddenly, and they started a foundation under her name, and it's for kids who lose a parent, you know, to help with everything. So they raised over $40,000 on doing that. But they also got social probation for hazing. And so that was in the paper, but not that they had raised $40,000 for this. So he calls me up. He's like, can you believe that? And I said, well, there you go. Now, there's a perfect example of how the media controls, what we find out. I said, that's why you have to read different blogs and newspapers and periodicals and everything. Because
listen to the Majority Report. Like, listen to the Majority Report, you tell him?
And, you know, and I said to him, if you want to know what is going on every day you have to listen to the Majority Report. And I'm telling you not to go to class the Majority Report is on.
Well, he can listen to it as a podcast. He's got an iPhone, doesn't he? Or he's got an Android.
Yeah.
Pick up the app.
Oh, please.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, I know, bitches. I know.
Well, Judy, have a great abortion.
I don't even know if I have to go to the gym.
Have a great abortion
today. I got to get ready for my abortion. That's funny.
We actually, if you use the coupon code MAJORITY, you get 10% off.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, really? Oh, good. All right, good.
Judy, I love you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I'm clean. Oh, my God. Thank you, guys. I hope I didn't, you know, go too far crazy, but I love you guys, I want to come back.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. Honestly,
I just say, looking on Twitter, that we love you, the people love you. You did a tremendous job. It's true.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
Bye, Judy.
I did a tremendous job. Okay. All right, listen, it was fun. I'm sorry that if I screamed too much.
No, that was fantastic. It was great to have you. Bye, Judy.
All right,
hang in there.
All right, bye.
Please take care of yourself.
Shalom.
Bye-bye. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Judy Gold. I hope she's okay.
But I think you get a little bit carried away with yourself.
Oh, my God. You should have played that when she was on. She would have lost it. Oh, my God. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break and head into the fun half. Although that was incredibly fun. We will. I know a lot of people want to know if we're going to clip that for YouTube. Of course, we will. I also want to say happy birthday to my sister. It's not her birthday today, but it will be over the weekend. And, you know, we would not be doing a show. So happy birthday, Julie. Let me give you one of these. That's also Julia was born, our parents went to the top of the top floor of the hospital and blew the shofar to let everybody know.
Really?
No, that's not what happened. So happy birthday to Julie. I love you. I will see you tomorrow. Incidentally, that what I just did was your gift. So don't get too... folks, this program relies on members for its support. You can become a member today at jointhemajorityreport.com. Also, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. Use the coupon code MAJORITY. Get 10% off. Makes a great gift. Birthday gift for your sister, for instance. Also, if you buy crap, buy it from our Amazon. Or I should say, if you buy crap from Amazon, buy it through our Amazon link at majorityreportkickback.com. If you want to try a new way to buy over the internet, have it delivered to your home without all the reservations you may have about Amazon for a multitude of reasons, you still have the opportunity to buy it through a link that gives a kickback to us. It's jet.com. 15% off your first purchase. I believe they're still doing that. Go to majorityreportkickback.com, jet.com. They deliver right to your door. People are raving about it. They rave about it. It's great. I love it. It's fantastic.
They do a tremendous job.
It's true.
I mean, look.
All right, folks, quick break.
Check your IM real quick. I mean,
oh, it looks like the O.J. Simpson story about the knife is not true. Good. I mean, that was the last time I was going to mention it one way or another. All right, folks. See you in the fun app.